I'll just pretend I didn't hear that. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I need your help tonight. Will you help me? Amen. Brother Jack's going to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Luke chapter 12. This first time I preached now in probably 2 months or better. So I hope I got enough voice to do it with. I've been getting hoarse just singing in the choir. So pray for me tonight. I'll be able to give you what I feel like the Lord would have me to. Luke chapter 12, I'm going to read the first 5 verses there. Then we'll be turning over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, reading one verse there. Said, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And then he goes on here, and I want you to notice that. Said, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. There's a great cover-up going on here. See, hypocrisy has to do with a cover-up, a pretense, you know. And therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. Man, you ever thought about that? And that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 31. Just a little short verse there, but it says a lot. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Will you pray with me and ask God to help us tonight? Our Father, in Jesus' name tonight, we need your help. We need your anointing. We need your power and presence. Help us to declare your word, God. Help us to declare it in such a fashion and measure, Lord, that it would reach down into each of our hearts and do the work that needs to be done. Lord, you know each one of us that's here tonight. You know what the needs of this congregation is. Every individual, Lord, you know all about us. We're asking you to give us clarity of thought and mind that we can declare your word, Lord, tonight. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. I want to preach for a little while tonight on using these two texts, or the text in Luke. And I want to say this in getting down to my message. Sin has to be dealt with. Amen. Somebody said, well, now Jesus dealt with it on the cross. That's right. But you've got to deal with it. A sinner or an unsaved person deals with sin, and the only way that he can is coming with a repentant heart, sorry for his sins, his transgressions against God, and repenting of that sin and turning from that sin, which actually repentance means to turn from or about face. And so the only way a sinner can. But a Christian has to deal with sin a little bit different than a sinner does. For you see, a sinner, one that has not been saved and doesn't know God, a sinner can only deal with his sin in a lump sum. Now, if God deals with them about a particular thing, then they need to take care of it. I'm not saying that. But as a sinner, you have to come to God and confess that you are a sinner and that you've sinned and come short of the glory of God and you want God to forgive you. But as a Christian, we've got to deal with sin on an individual basis. Every sin has to be dealt with as a Christian. Amen. That's something that a lot of people don't understand. They think they can do, you know, pray the Baptist prayer. You know, Lord, forgive us of our many sins. But that don't work when you're a Christian. Sin has to be dealt with individually. From every individual has to deal with a sin in their life individually. Amen. I mean, somebody said, well, I got a lot of failures and shortcomings and all. Did you know that's sin? That's sin. Don't get quiet on me now. Amen. I'm a little slower than I used to be, but I don't have no choice no matter. If I want to keep enough breath to breathe and preach too, I just got to do it that way. But sin has to be dealt with. It has to be. You've got to deal with it individually. Amen. In 11:31, 1 Corinthians that I read there, if we judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. And we simply judge ourselves by confessing and forsaking sin. You know, the sinner said, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. But the Christian said, Lord, forgive me of this thing. Forgive me of this situation. Forgive me of this problem. Forgive me of this trespass. Forgive me of this ill word unfitly spoken. Forgive me. Just individually, you have to deal with them. Now, the best time to deal with sin is right when it takes place. Amen. The longer you wait, the harder it is to deal with. And the bigger hole it gets in your life. And it will become a stumbling block. It will become a weight. And the sins which will keep us from doing what God wants us to do. And eventually, if we don't get it dealt with, it will bring us to a backslidden condition. So the best time to deal with sin is when it happens. Amen. When it takes place. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, well, I'm a Christian. I don't sin. Lord, have mercy. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you? Well, I'm glad you don't. I hope you live your whole life and don't ever sin again. But it's very doubtful. In my estimation of things, it's very doubtful. Maybe you've got a greater experience than what I have. Or maybe you just don't understand what sin is. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Even doubt is sin. And when you begin to defining sin from the biblical standpoint, there's so many areas that it covers, amen, there's a lot of things involved. Amen. And I can understand why the Baptists say you have to sin a little bit every day. I don't believe it, but I can understand why they say that. Because sin's so involved, and it covers so big of an area. You know, the Bible talks about sins unto death and sins not unto death. There's sins that will kill you spiritually immediately when you do it. Amen. But there's other sins that will just hinder you and slow you down, and you have opportunity. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. And so we have to get these things in the perspective and deal with them as they come to pass or as they're involved. If I've got some problem, some situation in my life, help me now. I'm trying to lay a foundation here, and I'll preach to you in a little while. Amen. But we have to judge ourselves lest we be judged. Now, we're either going to send our sins on before us, and they're going to be covered in the blood and forgiven, and cast into God's sea of forgetfulness, or either we're going to take them with us. If they're not dealt with, you're going to take them with you. extreme, why it's better to deal with them when they happen. Amen. How many has ever had to say they're sorry? That's a good number. I'm glad you said, I'm glad you'll admit it. A lot of folks won't admit that. Amen. But hey, we got to say we're sorry. And did you know when we say we're sorry to an individual, whether it's our wife or our whoever, our husband, and sometimes you do, you have to say that. I mean, I've raised my voice at my wife and just got plumb, you know. I mean, I ain't never struck her or nothing. Amen. And praise God, somebody said. But I have raised my voice and I've had to come back and say, Mom, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. But you know when I do that, I've got to tell God I'm sorry. Amen. When you trespass against an individual, you trespass against God. And you not only got to get forgiveness from the individual, but you have to get forgiveness from God. Amen. And folks think that just automatically takes place, but it don't. You have to ask God to forgive you. If you want God to forgive you, you got to ask God to forgive you. He doesn't just do it automatically. Amen. Well, some folks don't understand that. I'm sure of that. Amen, but we must confess and forsake our sins, or either we're going to carry them with us to the judgment. I want to preach for a little while tonight about cleaning the house. Now, I laid that foundation there so you know what I was talking about. Sin has to be dealt with. Now, some folks, I've been to houses where that they just cleaned them, I couldn't hardly tell it. Have you ever been there? And then I've been to other folks' houses that looked pretty good. They'd cleaned them real good. Had a good spring cleaning or whatever you call it, and they'd cleaned them real good. But you got to looking around, amen, in the closets and the corners and some of the other places, and they had just moved things around. Amen. If we'll clean our house good, it'll be clean. Now, let me give you just two or three more scriptures. Then we'll preach to you for just a few minutes, and then we'll let you go. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Huh. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile or dirty up, mess up, dirty up, the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. In chapter 6, he goes a little farther with the same thing, and he said, what? Another question mark. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your body is the temple. Your body is the dwelling place of God. This is God's house. Don't you think you ought to keep it clean? Don't you think you ought to keep it clean? Amen. I'll tell you what, most of us, it wouldn't hurt us to clean a little better, clean a little deeper. Amen. Ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. He carries this just a little further. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Holiness is the means whereby that we clean this temple. Amen. It's the standard whereby, amen, that we make this body we're tabernacle in, a place for God to dwell in. Amen? And if God's going to dwell there, then you and I are responsible to keep the temple clean. We got to keep it clean. You got to keep it cleaned out. You know, some folks just have what you would call a surface cleaning. If it's out of sight, all's well. You know, wished I had a broom. If it's out of sight, all is well. Amen? You ever seen anybody look out the window and hear company was coming? Took them 5 minutes to answer the door when you got there. They's cleaning house. I mean, they grabbed things and throwed it behind the couch. Man, they grabbed papers and things, stuffed them under the couch, raised up the cushions and put things under the cushions. Amen, they hid stuff everywhere. They thought if it's out of sight, it's all right. Do you know that's the way a lot of Christian folks live their Christian life? If folks don't know about it and they keep it hidden, covered up, they feel like it's all right. But God said, amen, that one of these days it will be shouted from the housetops. Amen. What's spoken in darkness or in the closets is going to be revealed. Jesus went so far to say that we'll give an account of every idle word spoken. Amen. And so what we need today, amen, I say we, including myself, the Church of the Living God in this hour and this generation, we just need a good old-fashioned house cleaning. Amen. Not a surface cleaning, not just getting it out of sight, amen, but cleaning it, I mean, brother, cleaning it up. In Luke chapter 5, we find a story there that's kind of relevant and not actually to the point, but it's relevant for what I want to say. But you remember the story of the woman that lost the coin, and she swept her house, and she swept and swept until she found the coin. Amen. Hallelujah. She done a cleaning job. She swept and cleaned till she found the coin. Amen. I feel like a lot of folks that's having trouble spiritually. Amen. That if they would do a good cleaning job in their house. Amen. Get their broom out and begin to sweep. Amen. Begin to clean. Not sweep it under the rug. Not sweep it over in a corner. Not pack it into the closet. Amen. But get it in a dustpan. Amen. Carry it outside. Amen. Dump it out in the, amen, somewhere outside. Get it out of the house. Get it all cleaned up. Amen. I believe God would give us revival in this last day. I believe the reason we're not having revival is we got too many dirty houses. We got too many things swept under the rug. God, give me strength and wind to preach. Amen. I'm feeling this in my heart. I don't have what it takes to deliver it, but I'm feeling it. God dealt with me about it last night and today. And I've been feeling my soul, amen, all day long. Amen. Folks are sweeping things under the rug. Amen. And there it is. All out of sight. And everything looks good. Amen. But no victory. No joy. No peace. Amen. Everything bothers them. Trouble everywhere. Amen. Oh, if they just pull back the rug and sweep that mess up and get it out of the house. Get it all cleaned up. God could move in their lives and through their lives and not only bless them, but make them a blessing. God help us. Amen. To do a good cleanup. To have a good cleanup. Praise God. Some folks want to do it the quickest way they can. My dad always told me that was a good sign of a lazy person. Now, my dad said that. I didn't. Don't hold against me. Hold against my dad. He's dead. He always told me this, and always done it. But he'd always say, you know, I mean, when I had to get in the coal or the kindling or the wood, according to what we was cooking with at the time, I tried to get it all in one load. I mean, I'd load up, buddy. I had it everywhere. I'd try to get it in one load. Dad would say, son, that's an indication of a lazy person. Don't try to get it in one load. Make two trips. Amen. A lot of folks want to get things cleaned up just as quick as they can. But I'll tell you what it'd do. It'd do us good, brother, considering our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, do a good, thorough job and take our time and look in every corner, look in every crack. Amen. Get out the vacuum cleaner and the sweeper. Amen. And everything else and do a good cleaning job. Amen. A lot of folks are so busy looking at Sam. I don't think we got any Sams here. A lot of folks are busy looking at Sam that they can't see themselves. Amen. A lot of folks are so busy looking at their neighbor that they can't see their own back door. Amen. They got junk scattered around their own backyard, break your neck trying to get in the house. Amen. And yet they never see that. But my goodness, looks like well, I won't say a bunch of somebody's living there. I won't say that. But amen. Looks bad. Looks bad. Amen. But you never see it. You got to, you're too busy looking at your neighbor or seeing somebody else. But why don't we just take inventory and judge ourselves that we be not judged, and let God talk to us. Get ourselves up to the mirror and look ourselves over real good and see what's there. I tell you, I'm afraid we'd find some things under the carpet. Well, what might be under the carpet, Brother Casey? There could be a lot of things there. If I had a little piece of carpet here in the broom, and I'd have swept some stuff under there. I thought about it, but I never did do it and get it together and get my props, so I just preach it without props. If I had a little rug here and a broom swept under there, I just kind of like to see what's under there. Pull it out. Found a pair of scissors. Huh. There's some ladies just can't keep the scissors off their hair. They're going to trim a little bit. And if they won't do that, do you know what I've heard of them doing? Using prominence to burn it. Come on now. Hey man, I'm telling you right. Brother, if the motive of it is to do something with it, amen, we'll use scissors or a permanent wave. Amen, to do it, you still burn it off, you're getting rid of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's as good as some folks would get rid of those scissors and throw them away. Some ladies just get rid of those scissors. There's some fellas that'd be good if they'd find the barbershop. Yeah, what's the matter with it, giving a good clean haircut? I don't have time. Well, you better take time. Because it's a shame for a man to have long hair. To get shaggy and unkempt, look like a dog. Need license, needs a tag. You have to give him rabies shots. Wonder what's under that rug. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get down to you here in a minute. Amen. And some just can't, I mean, it's so hot. Can't stand them long sleeves. Got to unbutton that top button or two. Ladies are just as bad. Huh? Immodest. Whatever happened to old-fashioned holiness modesty? I mean, man, you pick out your best long sleeve deal to come to church. But what do you wear in the secret? What do you wear when nobody's around? What do you wear when you're out yonder? How do you look then? Could you wear it to church and feel comfortable? Huh? Come on now. Amen. We're just cleaning house a little bit. Amen. Now, holiness is still right, folks. I don't care where the charismatics go or the liberals go or what folks do. Holiness always been the right way. Anytime there's been revival, it's been among holiness people. Amen. Even if the revival was to the point that they had become cold and indifferent and backslid away from God, yet when they really began to pray and got hungry and sought God and God brought revival, they come back to holiness. It's always, holiness has always been the product of revival. That's a standard, a way of living. Well, it goes beyond the dress, and it gets the attitude of the heart. Goes beyond the attitude and gets the motives of our life. So some folks can dress just right to the T in holiness, have the nastiest old spirit you ever saw, have hate and envy and strife and jealousy, all that under the rug, all covered up in the closet. Amen. Bitterness. Man, if you just knew how they done me. Bitterness. So what? Look how they done Jesus. He loved them with his dying words and said, forgive them. Look what they done to Stephen. He forgave them. You mean I gotta forgive? Yeah, you have to. You'll have no choice. If you want God to forgive you, you have to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. They might not do you right, and a lot of things might not be right, but you've got to forgive them anyhow. Bitterness. A lot of folks just swept it under the rug. Never got it prayed through, never took it to the altar, never confessed it to God. Hate, envy, strife, jealousy, anger, stubbornness, resentfulness, malice, all types of wickedness of the spirit of man. And such likes, which covers a bunch of other things. You see, folks, what I'm trying to tell you tonight is those are the things that keep us from having revival. They're the thing that keeps us from producing children, as Brother Sosa preached to us Sunday morning. Them are the things that keep us, amen, from having the victory and the joy of the Lord in our hearts, and keeps God's blessings from our midst, and keeps the Holy Ghost grieved and not moving. Don't you know He knows where you are? He knows every thought you think. He knows every motive you have. He knows every old ugly attitude you present. Old bad spirit that rises up in you. He knows it. And God don't ask a hard thing, Brother Tommy. All God asks us to do is confess it. Bring it to Him. God, I got this problem. This thing's rose up in me. I don't want it. God will help us with it if we'll do it God's way. But if you sweep it under the rug and you hide it and put it back there somewhere, put it in the closet, amen, it'll just be there to haunt you and to come to the surface again at the right time. But if we'll bring it to God at an altar of prayer, amen, and leave it there with God and pray until God gives us the victory over it, we can get up from that thing free as a breeze. Amen. With a good clean house and a good clean heart. Everything right between us and God. Don't be as the hypocrites, as the scribes and the Pharisees. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Amen. And that was the scribes and the Pharisees' problem. Amen. They covered their sin. They'd never admit it, would never acknowledge it, never bring it to God. They pretended to be all right. Everything's fine. Everything's all right. And that just made Jesus furious. It did. You know why? Because Jesus would like to have helped every Pharisee that was there. Every scribe, every lawyer that rejected him, Jesus would like to have helped them. But Jesus cannot help anybody that won't become honest and open with him. So tonight my message is this. Let's clean house. Let's clean the closets. Let's move the rugs and clean out from under the rugs. Do you want revival? Would you like to help our pastor? Would you like to see your loved ones saved? Then let's clean house. I can't clean your house. You got to do it, sister. Amen. Brother Jack, I can't clean your house. Own house. But you think what God would do for us if we cleaned our houses individually. If all of us got down before God and searched our hearts. Amen. And said, God, I want you to look at every nook and every corner and every crevice. Move every rug. Amen. Open every closet door. God, I want you to look in this house and I want you to see everything that's out of place, everything that's out of order, and I want you to convict my heart and deal with my soul and touch my life. Amen. What do you think God would do if we would honestly as a church begin to do that? I believe God would see our sincerity and God would send us an awakening and a stirring and a moving, and we'd see revival. You know what happened? That woman swept, and she swept, and she swept, and she swept till she found what she lost. Would you join with me tonight in sweeping your house till you find that which you desire and which you maybe you have lost with God? Find that which you desire from God. You know what will happen? The same thing that happened to her. When she found that lost coin, she rejoiced. And her neighbors and friends came in. And they all rejoiced. And not only them, but heaven got together and heaven rejoiced. Brother, if you and I would clean our house, we'd start a rejoicing like you ain't never seen before. That'd go all the way to heaven. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Whew. I hope I helped you tonight. I hope I challenged you. There's joy in serving God. There's help from the Lord. Amen. And we can receive it. Let me ask you tonight to make your way down at this altar. I'll turn it back to Brother Tommy after that, but make your way down at this altar and let's call upon God tonight. Let's ask Him to search our hearts and help us to do a good cleaning job in our souls. Would you come, let us pray. And let's sweep this house till we've cleaned it, till rejoicing can come. Everybody will come, let us pray.